Blog Talk Radio. If you ask the average American the KIA count in Afghanistan, what would the answer be? You ever see Jesse Waters? He goes out to his colleges and he asks them stupid questions and they don't know the answers. You know who got caught with a question he couldn't answer? And that's how he got his nickname? John Stewart. You know what his nickname is? John the Monkey. You know why? He was a guest on CNN, and they set him up with a trick question, like, who was the first president? And he jumped up. He said, "You're not going to make a monkey out of me," and he walked off the stage. And as he was walking off, he flung his bananas at the audience. John the Monkey Stewart, a celebrity, makes a lot of money. Makes a lot of money giving his country the finger. I wonder how much you pay for a finger. So, did you watch the crappies last night? Well, we have a couple of questions. All these terrorist revolutionary groups buy Russian weapons. Why is that? And is America turning into a bad Bible story? And now comes the question, did you watch the crappies? They call them the Grammys. I call them the crappies. How low can you go? This is what passes for mucus music today. If only strippers could sing. Who needs a red carpet for an animal parade? The only thing missing at the end of the runway is a trough so we can slop the hogs. It looked more like a dry La Leche contest. Wait till you see the udders on this cow. You are one in a minute. Oh, you're on in 1 minute. Okay, I'll disconnect the milking machine. Here comes Madonna doing her Canadian condensed milk commercial. You see Madonna, she was wearing a Matador's hat. She's a bullfighter. Poor Matadors. Poor Matadors. No mercy. You are on in a minute. We said that already. Everybody got a trophy. Then they had a moment of silence for everybody who OD'd or went to jail this week. The crappies are not the same since they got rid of the banjo players. How I miss a Spike Jones. Time for tune. Del Vikings. Is it any wonder?
Is it any wonder that I've fallen for you?
Take me back.
You're the spell I'm under, and I'm helpless, it's true. Is it any wonder why my skies are so blue when I search the
review last night. We did chapter one, Drugs Suck. Chapter two was Terrorism. And chapter three, and during the plane hijackings, I asked if would it be wrong to ask all Muslims on air flights to sit up with their hands over their heads until the plane lands. Yeah. And you know what? We're all being brainwashed. You watch. Any program you watch, when they talk about terrorists, the first word that they use is radical. Radical Islam. Radical Muslims. There's no such word in Arabic as radical. If you ask a Muslim and he wants to tell you the truth, he will tell you, there is only one God, and that is Allah. And he never had a son. And there's only one religion, it is Islam. There is not a radical Islam, there is only Islam. And the Shahadis who blow themselves up in the name of Allah go straight to heaven. And they get 72 virgins, 80 with a coupon. So when you hear somebody saying radical Islam, there is full of you know what as a Christmas turkey. Radical Islam. That's brainwashing, man. Yeah, he must have went radical. That guy that just cut your head off? Oh, yeah, he must have went radical. He was a regular Muslim just before he went radical. No, you can't put your head back on. No, they used an old knife, and it's not going to look good. So I'm looking at the beginning of the Iraq War in my book on page 55. And Bush is getting ready to go and invade Iraq. There's talk about it. So the same crooked senators who make a bundle on inside trading, which is illegal for everybody but them, three of them, all Democrat communists, jump on a plane. They fly to Baghdad to see Saddam Hussein and get some schmear. You know, if we go see him and we tell him we're on his side, we'll get some schmear. Or as we like to call it in the Communist Party, champagne contributions. So, who were the three bastards that went and sold out America? Oh, and when they got there, nobody would see them. They got the Netanyahu treatment. You know who the three were? I got to tell you. My picture says there's two Iraqis, and they're shaking hands with two of the three. One was so ashamed he stayed out of the picture. And one Iraqi in Arabic is saying to the other one, Naji, these are the two American bastards who betrayed the country. And they did not even ask about the POW pilot we have. There was a pilot named, I think his name was Michael Spiker. He was shot down in the liberation of Kuwait. And they didn't even ask if they could negotiate his release. He was believed to be captured and in prison. And that's what happens. When you vote for crap, you get crap. Or caca. Communists and Congress mice associated. I would like to say in their defense that on Mother's Day, they take the for sale sign off her back. And the losers are Democratic reps Jim Ho Chi Minh McDermott of Washington State, which turns out nothing but rats. David Abu Nidal Banya of Michigan. And Mike Low Cockroach Rider Thompson of California. In my humble opinion, they deserve the Jane Fonda and Viet Cong Spittoon, or as commonly known in Vietnam as the Hoc Tui. Watch this bill that passed the House today to allow pilots to carry arms in the cockpit. They say it won't pass the Senate. Check those who voted to burn the flag. I bet you they are the same party over country politicians within 90%. The report says approximately 110 congressmen voted no to self-defense for pilots. May they be on the next hijacked plane. And listen to the pilot say, oh, if I only had a gun, I could have saved everybody, but I've only got one parachute. The report said approximately 110 congressmen voted no into self-defense. 135 Viet Congress mice voted to burn the flag. I'll bet you the 110 are part of the 135, and the most I'll be off by is two. So, 40 days before 9/11, 135 congressmen voted to burn the flag. 40 days later, in 1.5 minutes, 2,826 Americans were burned and crushed to death. 2,826 bodies were wrapped in sacred cloth, and three firemen hoisted Old Glory in New York. Construction workers at the Pentagon unfurled Old Glory to cover the death hole in the wall. In Pennsylvania, the families of Flight 93 got an American flag in thanks of the supreme sacrifice made by the passengers. But the party of death was not finished. The nation gathered around our 911 leaders who asked for their support. President Bush wanted a unified resolution to send a harried Truman message to our enemies. Yet 88 flag burners voted no to the Iraqi resolution. It's something you don't know. When it turned out we were going to Iraq, guess who crapped their pants? Muammar Gaddafi, who immediately gave up his weapons of mass destruction, opened up his country to inspectors, and said, I want no part of this. And the Iranians, because when Bush's tanks made a right-hand turn into Saddam's palace, they were a half an hour away from Ahmadinejad's house. And the Iranians thought they were next. And we missed the bargaining chip. We missed the tool. We could. Maybe we should have went and arrested the mullahs and sent them to Gitmo so Obama could set them free. I give you a tune. We're dedicating this tune to all the GIs who are stuck all over the world serving this country, making $8.06 an hour, while the American wuss complains about secondhand smoke. Oh, and by the way, Massachusetts is buried. Boston is buried in snow with another 10 feet coming. Yeah, you know, global warming Boston. May they get all the global warming they got coming to them. Okay, let me give you this tune. We're dedicating it to all the GIs. I wish they could be home tonight.
This is dedicated to the one I love.
Okay, I'm back. I'm just reading a little bit of my book, and in it I trash Bill PLO Dancer Moore, and and I got a flashback on 911. First tower gets hit.
The second tower starts to evacuate. A young lady is on the 40th floor heading down. A voice comes over the intercom. Everything is under control. Go back to work. Her cell phone rings. It's Ma. Ma says, get out of there. On her way out, she passes a handsome young fireman heading up the stairwell. He says to her, pray for us. She made it. He died. Let's give him his prayers. Thank you. See that? I got you praying and you don't even go to church. It's a miracle. Yeah. And you know what? You know what I did on 911? By email, I went to all the brokerage firms and told them not to sell the airline short. I don't think anybody listened to me. When it comes to money, we'll sell dope to our children for cash. So, where was I reading? I was reading. I keep going to fireman stories at the WTC. I can't bear to look. I just heard today about a Bronx cop on 911 was on his way to headquarters to turn his retirement papers. Yeah, some people got a wrong deal. And that 2,800 figure of who died, that didn't count the 200 unborn babies, the pro-life babies who died with their pro-life mothers, because the communist government of the United States says the unborn don't count. They're really not human. Yeah. Like to implant one in a Supreme Court judge. Let me know when you think it's human. I bet you he thinks it's human when he gets morning sickness for the first time. Now comes a book. It's a book review. It's The Sexual Life of Catherine M. She's French. She's a nymphomaniac. I can hear the theme from Flashdance now. That's the French, always surrendering to something or somebody. I can't believe it. I've gone 12 pages in this book and not one Catholic bashing issue yet. Oh, I spoke too soon. Madame M., they point out, was raised a Roman Catholic. She lost her virginity at 18. That's a hell of a lot higher than the MTV average. Suppose she was not a Roman Catholic. Could she have held out till Mr. Wright came along? How do you spell Protestant? With one toot or a fling? She describes her first orgy, the feeling of setting out on an adventure, of losing myself in contact with others, and at the same time, finding myself in a position that greatly satisfied me. Hey, lady, you can get that same feeling on the 8th Avenue subway after the doors close at 168th Street. The interviewer asks, what goes through your mind when you make love to 100 men a day? Let a man who thinks like a woman answer that question. The first thing that comes to her mind is, who has my pocketbook? Okay, so having said that, there's a new teen magazine out. I won't say which one, but the cover shows a girl with a belt buckle initials VD. That's sharp. Imagine a belt buckle with the symbol of the sexually transmitted disease. What does she do next? Hook up with a guy that has the same buckle? Good idea. At least they won't get a different disease from a stranger with suspenders. Too bad Cuba does not have oil. We could siphon off a little for the fleet. What will it be, amigos? Fill up the Camaro and I'll take 5 quarts of 10W-40 for the aircraft carrier. I guess that must have had to do with the Gitmo, where Obama is freeing all the terrorists. He's building his new army, his new world order army. The year is 1968. The Brooklyn docks are worked by World War II vets. A Clinton-like draft dodger shows up to pick up a load of imported merchandise. The story was told to me by the guy that was there. He presents his documents to the checker. The workers notice he has an American flag sewn across the seat of his pants. The workers go in the back, they find his goods, and they throw them in the river. While he waits inside, two forklifts demolish his car. The checker tells him that they cannot find his merchandise. He leaves and is stunned by the state of his automobile. He calls the police. "Anybody see anything?" the cop asks. "Nah, just that flag on his ass." And we have FBI agents waiting for permission to tap a terrorist. Times have changed. Times have changed. So Jesus trusted 12 good Jews and one betrayed him. I'm a percentage guy. Using the New Testament stat, that comes out to 8% of any nation betrays it. That's a scary number. But remember the rebel song words, those Quislings who sold out the Patriot game. Or the one from the Crappy Boy. "My own first cousin did me betray, and for one small coin sold my life away. And then at his hanging, his father denied him." Terrible, huh? That must be horrible. Love your country so much you'll suffer the wrath of your father, who thinks you're betrayed. And the hangman in that song was Lord Cornwallis, the same one who hanged Nathan Hale downtown New York, the same one who surrendered to George Washington. You know the name of the tune that was played by the British band? The name of the tune was "The World Turned Upside Down." America's enemies, sniffing out our national weakness and spurred on by the torturous murder of 3,546 Americans to date, who up to 10,000 now, lost 4,700 in Iraq. And that don't count the wounded. The wounded count is 7 to 1. For everyone's dead, 7 are wounded. My best estimate. So we lost 4,700 in Iraq. You added it to the 3,400 in the city and in Texas. I mean, in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, and at the Pentagon. So you got almost 8,000 right there. And then Obama has lost, and he's covered it up, 2,400 in Afghanistan. And when he covered it up in Afghanistan, he was very clever. He used an old communist rule. He classified them as NATO troops to be identified later. Aren't you glad he doesn't work in an abortion clinic? America's enemies are sniffing out the national weakness and spurred on by the torturous murders of up to 10,000. To date, rallies around the World Trade Center, televised slaughter, and smells to kill. The 8% who never stopped killing America since they won the Battle of Vietnam have breached the walls of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in Gomorrah, California. Now America has one battle left, and to keep God and the Pledge of Allegiance, inserted with deep fervor in 1954 by our heroes of four wars. After the 8% get to kill God in America, the pledge will not be far behind. Yep, and there's a lot of media lies out there. You know, they started a propaganda lie that Abe Lincoln was gay. It's really sad. And look how ripe we are for the taking. The sluts and pimps wear crosses while committing abominations, played by their media propaganda machine. The greatest nation on the face of the earth stands down as their children become junkies, lost souls, and divorced from life's baby killers. Only a few good men and women carry the voice of reason, and they are ridiculed. That's a communist tactic, by the way, assassination by ridicule. They brought Sarah Palin down. SNL brought Sarah Palin down. SNL is NBC, nothing but communists. They do it with humor. Assassination by ridicule. Only a few good men and women carry the voice of reason, and they are ridiculed in public hearings and made to confess that they are pro-life so they can be denied a judicial seat. Then when freedom is blindfolded, the Chuck Schumers of the world will come and mock the Judge Estradas, demanding, "Tell us who struck you." My next chapter that I'll come back to is chapter 4. And what do you think that's about? That's about saving the kids. Try not to kill as many as we are. So let me find a nice tune. This song, my grandkids like. It's from Frozen. Do You Want to Build a Snowman? I'm not going to play it for you. But I'm picturing myself as the American representative negotiating with Putin. And Putin is threatening to launch a nuclear strike. And he says, "Do you have anything to say?" And I turn to him and say, "Do you want to build a snowman? Ride our bikes around the hall?" Okay. Oh, there was one tune that I just uploaded. I'm going to play it for you right now. You'll like this. It'll touch your soul. When was the last time you heard real soul music?
See you. We're back. We're back. Chapter 4, Spirit of America Party Book. And the tune, each chapter has a tune. The tune in the Spirit of America Party Book for Chapter 4, which is entitled Save the Kids, is Play Lamb of God. And I have a picture of a surgeon completing a successful spina bifida operation on a babe in the womb. And he's closing up the opening that he's made in the placenta. And a hand reaches out and grabs his finger. And at that very instant, the photographer in the room snapped the picture. And everybody was dumbfounded. And I put a caption that says, God says thank you. Successful spina bifida operation at 4 months in the womb. Kid grabs a doctor's finger. God says thanks. Let me open up the chapter by saying, being pro-life in no way gives me the right to condemn any woman who has had to have an abortion. The baby killers who label pro-lifers as insensitive, self-righteous bastards are masking the disease. My opposition to abortion is to try and save one life out of the 1,200,000 that will be torn to pieces this year. That is all I hope to do. Like a kid trying to stem the beach tide and save his castle. This sales pitch is to save one. So when my God asked me how I let this happen, I can honestly say I tried my best, but I didn't try my best. And the people that hate God the most will take an incident like a guy that blew up an abortion clinic, and they will use that as justification for murdering 1,200,000 children a year. What the guy did was wrong, but you don't take it out on the kids. Kids are like puppies, and once you get attached to them, they're hard to get rid of. My greatest outrage is aimed at Irish Catholic politicians who were taught from birth, not abortion, that all God's creation is precious in every shade and color. To sell the unborn child for votes is as Judas as you can get. Any cardinal who gives baby-killing legislators a front pew seat should be thrown out along with the evildoers. I'm referring to Chuck Schumer sitting in the front seat in St. Patrick's Cathedral. I forget who the cardinal was. It might have been Egan. Their symbol should be the hippo, as in hippo critters. This week I'm watching Larry Kink on the Communist News Network, CNN. They own a New York one. That is why you never see an American flag on either network. But I can show you a French one in the back office. Larry the Eighth, in interviewing a young man whose wife is brain dead. She is being kept alive because life exists in her womb. Larry says to a good husband, so how much is it costing you per day? And the guy honestly answers, I have no idea. True love is not about money. Larry asks, so how old is the fetus? Stop. At that moment, I would have smacked that John the Monkey Stewart smirk off Larry's face. But the gentleman answered, my daughter is 6 months old. Think about that. Think about the rat who won't even drive you to the butcher shop. If you can emotionally identify with the horror of killing a baby seal or a porpoise, a whale, a fur-bearing animal, or disturbing the eggs in the nest of the piping plover, how about a thumbs up for Johnny what's-his-name? How about that spina bifida correction operation in the womb 16 weeks big. Gripping, huh? So when the clinician tells you that when you whack Junior, it's only a little tissue, dry your eyes with a little tissue and stick your finger in his eye and tell him it's only a little tissue. Let him tell it to the acorns. 40 days before 9-1-1, 2001, 48 senators voted to burn the flag of the United States, SJR 7. On 10-20 in 2003, 34 senators voted to stab a full-term child in the head, exiting the Freedom Canal. I say every one of those 34 voted to burn the flag. Let's check. So I did the comparison. I was off by 5. 29 are baby killers and flag burners. That is hardcore party over country. You want to know who the 29 senators were who voted to kill kids? Akaka from Hawaii. Baucus from Montana. Bingaman from New Mexico. Barbara Boxer. Maria Cantwell. Lincoln Chafee. He banned Christmas trees. He's now the governor of Rhode Island. What does that tell you about Rhode Island? Hillary Clinton, the bitch of Benghazi. Yeah, she doesn't like anybody come back alive. Collins from Maine. Imagine that, a sweet little old lady. John Corzine, that's the guy that became governor of New Jersey. Then he left and he opened up an investment firm. And he lost track of $1 billion. And when they asked him, where did the money go? He said, money gone. Money all gone. Dayton from Minnesota. Dodd, Christopher Dodd. Oh, there's a boiler in hell waiting for him. Dick Durbin will be there with him. Dick Durbin, the Marine backstabber. He called every Marine a terrorist. Russell Feingold. That's John McCain's bunk buddy. Dianne Feinstein. This is Graham from Florida. He also, on 9-1-1, was sitting in charge of the Intelligence Committee when the Democrats went, what did Bush know and when did he know it? And all of the lemmings went, what did Bush know and when did he know it? He knew more than Clinton. And now Clinton in 1993 gave Osama bin Laden a pass. I wonder how much money traded hands when that Emirates sheikh and got a phone call. Your boys out here hunting with bin Laden. They're out there with the Falcons looking for rabbits. I can save your boy. Here's my account number. Oh, that could never happen. No, that could never happen. Next, you'll be telling me somebody assassinated a president. In a way, both senators from Hawaii are war heroes. I think they were in the Nisei Battalion at the Battle of Monte Cassino. And they both were wounded. How could they, in good conscience, vote to burn the flag that draped the coffins of all of their brothers who died in World War II? You know what the simple answer is? It's party over country. Jeffords from Vermont. Vermont is gone. They're building statues to Stalin up there. Kennedy from Massachusetts. Well, you know where he is. He's in boiler number 3. Kerry, oh, Hanoi John. He should be down. He should be in Gitmo. Herbert Cole from Wisconsin. Frank Loudmouthberg from New Jersey. They brought him. They took him off of ICE and brought him out to replace Torricelli. Torricelli was the torch. He was called the torch because he voted to burn the flag. And not only that, but he used to take a Chinese businessman shopping, and he made the Chinese businessman buy him presents.
And the Chinese businessman got fed up because the guy was a pig. He was greedy. There was no limit to his greed. So the Chinese businessman blew the whistle on him. Now, did he get the whistleblower's reward? Yeah, he did. He got 5 years in jail. And Torricelli got to walk away with $5 million in his campaign war chest that he was supposed to turn over to Frank Loudmouthburg. And Frank said, Torricelli, you got to give me that $5 million. And he says, I'm not giving it to you. I said, it's okay. It doesn't matter. We'll get another $5 million from the suckers.
Levin from Michigan.
Yeah, that's I think his name is Carl, isn't it? Carl Levin? I call him Carlos the Jekyll. Here's the one that got over on everybody. Got over on Democrats, got over on Republicans. Joe Lieberman. Voted to kill kids. Kill them coming out of the womb. Before they get their head out, they crush it. He's Orthodox Jewish. Yeah. Ask any Orthodox Jew what he thinks about that. And he also voted to burn the flag.
Barbara Mikulski from Maryland. Patty Murray from Washington. Bill Bayonet the Babies Nelson.
You know, he was at the blocking of the door. They had five Democrats down there blocking the door so that nobody would bring food to Terri Schiavo and keep her going. They said she was brain dead. That smile on the face means nothing. Yeah. Oh, God. They even killed for politics. You know, Terri Schiavo was the only witness to her own murder. When was the last time you and I got out of bed, went to the bathroom, and fell down and hit your head and went into a coma? She was the only witness to her own murder.
Reed from Rhode Island, Rockefeller from West Virginia, and Paul Sarbanes from Maryland. Maryland's an evil state, man. Chuck Schumer, the American Holocaust creator. Olympia Snowjob from Maine. She's very frail and delicate, like a newborn baby. Debbie Stabenow now from Michigan. Stabs in many ways she can, in the head, on the battlefield. Ron Wyden from Oregon. And there were two that didn't vote. You know why? They didn't want to show their true colors. You know who they are? Kay Bailey Hutchinson from Texas. She's a Republican. And the most honest man, the most faithful husband in the Senate, John Edwards, who dragged his dying wife around playing the cancer card for votes. So having said that, I also have a little subtext that says men and abortions. A friend of mine who's a nurse has a suggestion to slow down partial birth abortion murder. This woman sees death every day, and she's very soft and gentle. Once a mouse was caught by the head in a trap and was dying from suffocation. She performed CPR on the mouse, rubbing his neck, and she released him back into the wild, singing Born Free. Her suggestion to that accomplice to the crime, that insignificant other, he should have to attend and participate in the murder. The doctor can prep the mother and give the anesthesia, then hand the scissors to Macho Man and show him where to insert them in his daughter's neck, holding them there until the thrashing stops. Then the doctor can clean up and dispose of the body. You want to cut down on abortions? Everybody that has an abortion has to get a doggy bag. Abortions will drop by 90%. There are alternatives to murder. Name that fee is mercy.
Take a break. Just remember.
Planned Slaughterhood kills 3,000 babies a day. By 5 o'clock of tonight, 3,000 American babies will give up their Social Security numbers to illegal immigrants. Of the 3,000, 1,200 are white. 1,100 are black, which is a disgrace. Which is a terrible disgrace. And 700 are Latino niños. I got pictures that would break your heart. And these kids are full grown. And there's a movie coming out about this Kermit Gosnell who was killing a black man who was killing black kids, mostly black kids, in the ghetto. I forget if it was Philadelphia or Baltimore. And he said some of them were so big, they could walk to the bus stop. How's that? It is really sad. If we had to buy them, how much would we have to pay? A woman that's going for an abortion, and we say, go full term, honey, we'll buy the baby from you. How much do you want? What kind of price do you think? What would be the average price? And what would you do if you agreed to the deal? Would you raise the kid yourself? Questions, huh? Okay. We are going to play a fighting song.
We'll sing a song, a soldier song, with cheering, rousing chorus, as round our blazing fires we throng, the starry heavens o'er us, impatient for the coming fight, and as we
one of the biggest problems and hurts in the Catholic Church was the pedophile priest scandal. And of course, the enemies of Christ, they jumped right on the bandwagon. And the first thing they did was allege that every priest was a pedophile. It'd be very hard to be a priest. And to be standing among children and seeing people looking at you, wondering if you're a pedophile. I know, I worked in a store that had no bathroom. I used to have to go to Burger King. And when I went over to use the Burger King bathroom and buy lunch, if there were kids in or near that bathroom, I wouldn't go in. Because you never can tell what a kid might say that might lead other people to think something took place. And that's a sad commentary. And that's why you got helicopter moms today. Because morally, we are more corrupt today than ever before. Spiritually, we are more corrupt today than ever before. and there's no limit to the bottom.
So when I was trying to justify the existence of good priests, I came across a story, and I'm going to read it to you. It's a sailor's story. Nearly 45 years later, this story was written in 1988. Father Moody and I accidentally met again on the same spot on the flight deck. As Father Moody looked silently to port, I asked him if he remembered what happened on that spot 45 years ago. And he thought for a moment and then thoughtfully said, yes, the Franklin, that was the aircraft carrier, was hit. And I was talking to a blonde-haired sailor at the time. And as I turned to face Father Moody, I said to him, well, Father Moody, I'm that blonde-haired sailor. And they cried and they embraced. And Mark Levin was just joining. When I did this book, he was just joining WABC. And he was replacing Richard Bey in his karaoke fetish. And I said, I can see the hot blue flame of truth burning up the airwaves. And at the time, that one of his first shows, somebody called in. And the sarcastically asked, what did the cops do on 911? And the comment was, take a job for the year and find out. And I mentioned when I heard that guy knocking the cops, I said, I have a dream. And the visions of that arrogant fool getting stopped for a taillight bulb out. And the officer asked him to step out of the car. Then the cop draws his gun and says, I know it's only a minor traffic infraction, so I'll give you a 10-second running head start. Yeah. Before that pedophile priest, and when you think about a pedophile priest, you better think of the rubber rooms in public schools. Was there's a lot of pedophile priests there, too. Before the scandal, a skimpy second collection plate moved faster than a Frisbee. I should talk, but I put in extra now for the guy who dropped out. You know the guy always looking for the excuse not to cough up. He still has his communion money going on 40. On Palm Sunday, he puts in a dollar bill. He takes 50 pounds of palm home. Can't wait to see his Easter suit. Okay. Parrish, the local priest, on the heels of this scandal, is trying to raise money. And he says it will not go to lawyers, only schools, hospitals, poor parishes, and retirement home for priests. I saw a nun once, you know, like right after the sermon, they usually give a guest a little speaking time. This elderly nun came up to the pulpit, and she was asking for money for her order, who were all old. So when they joined, they were young girls. They gave their lives to Christ. And because they took a vow of poverty, they didn't earn any salary, so they had no Social Security. And she was, you know what she was asking for money for? To buy a shawl. We're in trouble. We're in big trouble. Okay. So, having said that, if you want to read about abortion from an anti-abortion guy, you can get my book. Some of it's about Bush and Cheney running for office. I'm going to give you Joe Walsh was on tonight, and then he was lambasting Jewish people. And he said it's a known fact that most Jewish people do not support Israel. That is sad. And
And after hearing that, I had to play Jerusalem.
Thank you. blinded sea. If I but call your name, will you set the prisoners free and never be the same? Will you kiss the leper clean and do such as is unseen and admit to what I mean in you and you in me? Lord, your summons echoes true when you but call my name. Let me turn and follow you and never be the same. In your company I'll go where your love and footsteps show. Thus I'll move and live and grow.
Chapter 5 is the Catholic Church. I'll just do a light fare on that one. The breaking Catholic Church scandal. That started in Ireland. That's where they had the biggest scandal. And then people, like the Boston Globe, said, listen, if it's Irish priests that are committing this, there's Irish priests here in the United States. And so they zeroed in. And they found what they found. And all of it could have been avoided if the first time somebody created an incident with a child that the people of the parish got together, or the clergy in that parish got together and said, come on, John, we'll go to the police station together and you can turn yourself in. And that would have been the end of it. But it was a cover-up, and it cost us. But you got to remember one thing about the Catholic Church. The greatest cathedral in the world was built by the hands of a poor man, one brick at a time. And that's who the Catholic Church is. It's the people. It's the people who love Jesus Christ. It's the people who love the union, who love the communion. It's the tradition of that's been passed down from generation to generation. And many have died for their faith. Ask the Irish, they'll tell you. So, the ACLU goes way back, seizes confidential public records. The Boston Globe refuses to identify a leaker. And a true story begins. In 1771, in Mexico, this is a true story, Father Toribio Bastachia, the vicar of Huachinango, was convicted by the Inquisition of officiating at the marriage of two dogs. In Hollywood, they do that every day. He was sentenced to 4 months of fasting and penance. And later he became the Bishop of Hollywood, and he's been marrying dogs ever since. Sometimes it's hard to separate God and country. Meet Father Moody, and I did that story about Father Moody. He was on the aircraft carrier. What did I say it was? The Lexington? The Franklin. Okay.
This was, I updated this on August the 16th, 2005. So this book is 9 years old. Oh, I had a teacher. He was great. His name was Father Clark. Handsome guy. The girls used to flip over him. When we went to dances, all the girls were hanging around Father Eugene Clark. He was a great guy. And he was a my history teacher. He was fantastic. He went on to become a Monsignor. And I saw him. He used to do Vatican works of art in a presentation on the Catholic News Channel. And he was a straight shooter. And on August the 16th, in 2005, they got him. Nothing is sacred. Do you think every time a lawyer sneaks into church to rob the poor box, they get obsessed with golden chalices and Vatican works of art? Well, the press tried him and convicted him, allegedly. I know this good priest. He's 79, does not drive anymore. Is he guilty? Only God knows. Who would ever believe that maybe his relationship is platonic? My best friend happens to be a woman. But I also have a license to hug. Friends are a dime a dozen when you're riding high. So here's my 2 cents. From 1957 to 2005. Like the PC Bible says, there's more joy in hell when one decent American falls than all the Hollywood idols are sinning hourly. Referring to the alleged fall of one exceptionally godly man. I know this man. He helped shape my life. He was teaching history in the ghetto when they were called bad neighborhoods. You know the difference between a bad neighborhood and a ghetto? Or a poor neighborhood and a ghetto? A poor neighborhood becomes a ghetto when the Democrats bring the drugs in. He must have been at the time about 27, 28. I got the impression he came from a wealthy family. So he gave up the cushion and he turned to the kneeler. He was a very good-looking guy. In school dances, the girls fell all over him. He was classy and always proper. He had a great sense of humor and a twinkle in his smiling blue eyes. You ever hear a song, When Irish Eyes Are Smiling? They usually play that before the fight. He has served God and country more in one day than most people do in a miserable lifetime. And the old axiom is anybody this good looking and gives up women for God has to be gay. And St. Francis was a sissy. So now he has been marked with the media pentagram and tried in the gossip by a jury of his peers because he has no equal. Slandered by social outcasts who hide their own miserable sins in dark hampers. Now he is accused of the sin of adultery and the rooster crows. If someone points a finger at me and asks, are you not a follower of this New York and Galilean? I will not deny him my friendship. And if he has fallen, I will stand ready to pick him up and help him carry his cross. Just as he carried it for me with 60 years of service to one who fell 3 times. He is the prize takedown trophy of those who fornicate in his church vestibule and broadcast the act live on radio. Opium and Anthony are media heroes. He dispenses with love and reverence the body of Christ, even to obsessed homosexuals who spit it back in his face and mock him as Christ was mocked. Yet he's the first to visit that homosexual dying of self-inflicted AIDS in St. Vincent's Hospital, blessing their tortured souls for the next journey. And he will also be there to give last rites to the 1,000 who will die in round 3 of 911 continued. You think that they're going to let us keep that tower up? Those who hate my God and country will glory in the weakening of the two fortresses, morality and patriotism. Just as in former days when they knocked on Lot's door and said, send out the strangers so we may know them.
They will say this time, look, he's no better than us. But the American creed is the strong must always protect the weak. Just as Monsignor Clark protected his beloved flock, giving up much to help many. Tom Paine was right when he said, these are the times that try men's souls. There are Catholic sunshine patriots also. Just look at the ones who vote to kill children. Cloudy, it is hard to see heaven. Good priest, I remember you for the good you did. I forgive you for being weak. If the charges are true, I know you will do the right thing. If they are not, and you say they are not, I will always keep faith with you. In any event, I will not deny you the friendship you shared with me. If you need help, flash the cross over Gotham, and I will come. So, that's one man's story. He died a couple of years ago. Must be sad. It's not like being able to love the things you love. Okay, we're back. I watched a little bit of the Grammys, or as I call them, the crappies, and they had one scene where it was all black guys, and they were spiritual singers. They were dressed up like they were in church, and then there was a bimbo in front there, you know, jumping and jiving. And I said, you know, rock and roll began based on spiritual harmony, and there must be some great spiritual singers out there with some great spiritual songs. So I looked for a quick one, and I found the Mahalia Jackson singing "You Must Be Born Again."
Oh, Nicodemus is calling, thunder. Master did explain. You only know the answer when you've been hung again. There is no substitute. Salvation is your only boot. If you wish to pass the gate, you must be found again. Your ticket you must buy. No place for your soul to hide. You'll be lost if you wait outside. You must be born again. Oh, the Lord respects no person. Oh, we come when we die. Bitch, that ends up papa. And have a little time aside. As the judgment shall reveal, every deed that's been concealed, we'll find these words for real. You must be born again. Oh, the Lord respects no person.
When the twilight is gone, and no songbirds are singing, when the twilight is gone, you come into my heart, and here in my heart you will stay. My friend is a rapture in blue, with the world far away, and your lips close to mine.
Dedicated to any GI that was unjustly sentenced for the crime of premeditated murder and is rotting away in Fort Leavenworth, feeling lost and abandoned and unjustly imprisoned. May God be with you.
shelter me, let the thought of your compassion be my strength, Prince of Peace, shelter me, from the tempest of my unbelief, mighty God who calms me, come and shelter me. Do your promises still stand? Does your mercy cease? By the power of your hand, grant me my shelter me, shelter me. Let the thought of your compassion be my strength, Prince of Peace. Shelter me from the tempest of my unbelief. Mighty God who comes.